Welcome to Lakers Carpool. My name is James Brooks. I'm your host. Thank you for joining me on today's episode. The Lakers got a huge win in Memphis for game one of the series, the Memphis Lakers series, and couldn't be bigger. I was going into that game 100% expecting the Lakers to be in the game, have a close game, but ultimately lose the game. I mean, it's tough to go on the road, first game of the playoffs. You really only have LeBron and Anthony Davis as like the battle-tested playoff guys on that team, right? This was Austin Reeves' first playoff game. I'm pretty sure Rui's first playoff game. The only other guy on the team I think that has playoff experience really is Tristan Thompson, who is, you know, really only there for worst case scenario type situations. So, I mean, good to have the veteran presence in the locker room, as people say, but really couldn't have asked for a better first game from this team that has very little playoff experience. So the Lakers just, I mean, they, I felt like they were in the driver's seat the entire game. Like, they got up by 10 points at one point, and then they blew the lead, got down by like maybe up to like 7 points or something. Like, they definitely like got down by a decent margin before battling back in. I mean, let's look at the box score. They put up 32 points in the first quarter. Then they got outscored 38-27 in the second quarter, so that was tough. They put up 37 in the third quarter. Usually the Lakers are a bad third quarter team, is what a lot of people say. And they came out in the second half and just dominated, putting up 37 in the third quarter to the 25 third quarter points by the Grizzlies, and then outscored the Grizzlies 32-22 in the fourth quarter for a win of 128-112. The big story in this game was Rui Hachimura, 29 points on 11 of 14 from the field. And he hit like three threes in a row to end the third quarter. He went 5-for-6 from the three-point line. Austin Reeves also had a huge game with 23 points, 3-for-5 from three, 8-for-13 from the field. And then Anthony Davis put up 22 on 10 of 17 shooting, and LeBron 21 on 8 of 16 shooting. So you can't really ask for a better situation. You know, when you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis as your third and fourth high scorer on the team, you know you're in a pretty good situation. So obviously Rui putting up 29 points off the bench is insane. And he really covered most of the bench scoring. So like, thankfully Darvin Ham tightened up the rotation a little bit in this game. Off the bench, you got Dennis Schroeder had 20 minutes, Troy Brown had 17 minutes, Malik Beasley had 10 minutes, Rui had 30 minutes. And then the rest of the guys got like 1 minute of garbage time pretty much. And usually, you know, we need the bench to step up, and they did, but it was mainly Rui who stepped up. And then the rest of the guys kind of just put in, you know, Dennis Schroeder played 20 minutes, good defense, 7 points, 2 of 5 from the field, hit 1-3 on three attempts. So this was a big game for our starters. We had, so I mentioned the 29 from Rui off the bench. And then for the starters, you had 23 from Austin Reeves, 22 from Davis, 21 from James, and then 19 from D'Angelo Russell, who he started off pretty slow, was worried we were going to get another one of those games like he had against the Timberwolves where he just could not get a shot to fall. And then he finally kind of got things going. He hit three threes on 9 attempts. So not the best 3-point shooting from him, but to get those three threes is big. 7 of 17, 19 points, 7 assists. So a good game from our starters. And then Jared Vanderbilt, 23 minutes, lockdown defense against Ja Morant, which you don't see in the stat sheet. And then put in 4 points, 4 rebounds. So just an overall really good game for the Lakers. And the big story, again, like I said, is Rui Hachimura and Austin Reeves and the way that they closed the game, from Rui hitting like three threes in a row to end the third quarter. And then at like around the five or six minute mark, it was right around the same time that Ja Morant got hurt. So Ja Morant goes up for, Anthony Davis contests him. As Ja Morant's driving to the basket, Anthony Davis draws a charge, and Ja Morant came down and he landed on his hand and it looked bad. He bent it, like bent inwards as he was landing on it, and he just like left immediately, went straight to the locker room. It sounds like tests came back negative, so that's good to hear for him. You know, and I will say I've been really proud of the Lakers fans on Twitter, especially, and how they've responded to the Ja Morant injury. You know, a lot of fans, like when your opponent's best player gets hurt, will kind of revel in the moment and be like, yes, the best player's hurt. That's better for us. It gives us an advantage, you know. And that is true to a certain degree, obviously. But Lakers fans, especially on Twitter, have been very vocal about, like, wanting Ja Morant to be healthy. We want the Lakers to beat the Grizzlies with Ja Morant healthy. The Lakers, you know, for better or for worse, Lakers fans get a lot of flack from the rest of the fans, right? Like, same goes for, like, Yankees fans and Cowboys fans, right? The only difference is the Lakers have at least won more recently than those teams. But that being said, you know, Lakers fans get a lot of flack, but in this case, like, we don't want people to give us excuses. People want to give the Lakers excuses for any win they get. You know, we won the championship in 2020. Well, it was in the bubble. Yeah, well, guess what? The bubble was some of the top highest level play basketball that we've seen maybe ever. Yeah, you take away home court advantage and that kind of stuff, so, like, that's different. But, like, I remember seeing it with my own eyes and people talking about it on Twitter and people writing about it in articles about how high level basketball it was. Not to say that, like, it's the hardest championship that any team has ever won, but let's not pretend like, you know, it was just a walk in the park for the Lakers to win that championship. And there, you know, there's always something. There's always some excuse. And this goes for any team that wins a championship. Something has to go right. There's a certain amount of luck that goes into winning a championship, to winning playoff games, you know, whatever, right? So people want to give the Lakers excuses for why they're winning games, and we don't want that. We want to beat these teams while they're at their best. And so, you know, shout out to the Lakers fans for, you know, not applauding Ja Morant getting hurt and actually being bummed to see it happen. So Ja Morant gets hurt, and then with like 5 minutes left to go in the game, Austin Reeves just takes over. It was like a 3-point game, and I think he scored like nine. I think he scored 9 straight points and assisted or was involved in 12 points. He had this beautiful drive to the basket on the baseline with the shot clock winding down, behind the back pass to Rui for a wide open three that Rui knocked down. And then Austin Reeves just went into psycho mode and hit like a three, hit a two, was like getting fat. Like, he was just everywhere. They were running a pick and roll that, like, Memphis just couldn't stop him on. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how Memphis adjusts based on what we saw from the Lakers. But the thing is like, this is a one-off game, right? Like, you're not going to get 29 points from Rui every night. You're not even going to get 23 points from Austin Reeves every night. You know, if you can get 15 from either of those guys, that's a good game, typically. So this was outstanding in the sense that, like, we were able to get almost 30 from Rui, 23 from Austin, and then didn't even need, like, well, not that we didn't need Anthony Davis or LeBron, but, like, didn't need them to step up and, like, put up 40 points, right? And that's something, you know, that's something that might be needed at some point, but it's nice that we didn't have to expend all that energy from Anthony Davis and LeBron James in the first game, and we're able to come out with a win and steal home court advantage. So, overall, feel pretty good about that game. Jaren Jackson Jr. on the other end for the Grizzlies had a huge game with 31 points, game high 31 points, 2-for-4 from 3, 13-21 from the field. And I will say Jared Vanderbilt did a pretty good job of locking down Ja Morant. Now, Ja Morant left the game early, so he only got 30 minutes in. Like, he probably would have gotten around 37 minutes also, probably would have scored a few more points if he was in the game. So we ended the game with 18 points. But so Jared Vanderbilt did a great job at just keeping Ja Morant at bay. And there was a point where right before Ja Morant got hurt where he had, I think, like 14 shot attempts at the 5-minute mark in the fourth quarter before he got hurt. And again, if he stayed healthy and stayed in that game, he probably would have tried, you know, the Grizzlies would have pushed, tried to make a run. Game would have stayed closer, most likely. But overall, Jared Vanderbilt just went out and did what we need him to do in his role, right? Like, don't necessarily need him to put up big offensive numbers. Don't need him to, you know, but he does a good job at, like, cutting on offense, like getting some open dunks here and there and whatnot. The people leave him wide open at three, so if he can knock down a three or two, that's big. But overall, again, putting up 4 points, not a problem when you're locking down the other team's best player. So we've seen some reports this morning that it sounds like Ja Morant's hand doesn't have any structural damage to it. So, and it's still up in the air whether or not he'll play game two tomorrow night. It sounds like if there's no structural damage, that he might play. But, I mean, I guess I just don't know what the extent of the injury is, because after the game, people were reporting saying that he was unable to, like, untie his shoes and put on his sweatpants and stuff with that hand because of just how bad it hurt. And even his quotes at the end of the game made it sound like it was pretty unlikely that he would be able to play because, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's his right hand. I think it's his shooting hand, which obviously poses a problem when you're, you know, handling the ball as much as he is and shooting the ball and all that stuff. So still remains to be seen on Ja Morant's status, which in some ways, right, this whole situation helps and hurts the Lakers in a sense, right? Like, you kind of have to create two game plans going into the game tomorrow. You have to plan for Ja Morant being available to play, and you have to plan for him not being available to play. And, I mean, my guess is, like, even if he's able to play, it's going to be in some sort of limited capacity. I can't imagine him bouncing back from that damaging of an – well, not damaging, but, like, that bad of an injury where he was in that much pain and stuff to bouncing back 2 days later, 3 days later, and being able to, like, play it, you know, 100%. So the game plan, you got to imagine, is kind of up in the air, but, like, you got to plan for both him being available and him not being available. And really the other big story of this game one was just Anthony Davis's defensive prowess. You know, Jaren Jackson Jr. yesterday, just got announced as winning Defensive Player of the Year, which I hope to God that motivates Anthony Davis even more. I feel like it already did. It hadn't been announced yet when game one happened, but it was pretty likely that Jaren Jackson Jr. was going to win Defensive Player of the Year. And Anthony Davis came out and just destroyed. He had seven blocks, 12 rebounds, just absolutely dominating, a plus 27 for the game, and just really dominated both ends of the floor, and didn't need to dominate the offensive floor as much because you had Rui and Austin Reeves going crazy, but he's just unstoppable. Xavier Tillman can't handle him. Jaren Jackson Jr., I mean, he's a good defensive player, but seeing Anthony Davis and Jaren Jackson Jr. go head-to-head up against each other is pretty incredible. And, you know, on the defensive end for Memphis, right, they'll put Tillman on Davis so that they can have Jaren Jackson Jr. Kind of roam and help and get block shots and things like that. But Tillman just can't – I mean, people are saying, like, Tillman, he's a bigger guy, and he has – bigger guy in the sense of, like, he's just thick and, like, he is, like, a strong base that can keep Anthony Davis from getting to the basket. Anthony Davis is quick. Like, Anthony Davis can get around him. Maybe he's not backing him down in the post or whatever, but Anthony Davis can hit shots over him because he's only, like, 6'9", I think. And then he's just quick. He's quick. And then when Tillman has the ball, if Anthony Davis is anywhere near him, it's a nightmare, or at least it was in game one. So just an overall great game from the Lakers. We kind of had everything, right? You had the Lakers getting a pretty big lead. You had the Lakers losing that lead. You had the Lakers stepping up again in the second half, big third quarter, big fourth quarter to close out the game and get a win. So really the biggest, I think, question that I have, or kind of negative I have with this team right now, is the non-Anthony Davis minutes, right? So, like, Anthony Davis has been stellar on defense and offense, but when you don't have Anthony Davis in there, we don't have a whole lot of size, right? We're forced to play pretty small, playing with, like, LeBron James at the center position or Rui Hachimura at the center position. You have Rui or LeBron basically guarding Jaren Jackson Jr. if he's in against that unit. And I think the pretty common unit that we saw, I think in the first half at the very least, I feel like Darvin Ham went away from it in the second half, but you saw it was Schroeder, Beasley, Troy Brown, LeBron, and Rui. And Rui was playing well yesterday, so like, or on Sunday in game one. So in that sense, it helped that he was, you know, hitting shots and playing well. But that in general, that starting or that lineup, I do not love. And sure, if Troy Brown Jr. And Malik Beasley are knocking down threes, and I think we've talked about this. We talked about this after the play-in game because he ran the same lineup out there. If you have Beasley and Troy Brown Jr. hitting threes, then sure, yeah. But they're not. They're so streaky. They're so inconsistent. It's tough, you know. I would love for us to get a game where Beasley goes out and hits five threes. It's just, you never know what you're going to get each game. That's why he only played 10 minutes in game one. And Troy Brown is a little better defensively, so he's able to get a little more minutes. He played 17 minutes, even though he only had 3 points. He hit 1 3. But that unit is probably the Lakers' biggest weakness right now because you don't have size, especially going up against Jaren Jackson Jr. if he's in the game. And where's the offense coming from? You have LeBron in the game. I think I would just like to see, like, maybe someone like D'Angelo Russell or Austin Reeves in at that time, right? Like, so you get two starters. You have LeBron and Austin Reeves or D'Angelo Russell. And then, you know, have either Troy Brown or Malik Beasley and then Rui, right? So then, because that's 1, 2, 3. And then, or maybe Schroeder. You know, make it Schroeder, Reeves or Russell, LeBron, and then pick either Beasley or Troy Brown and then Rui. Troy Brown if you want more defense, and in theory Malik Beasley if you want more offense. But, you know, that's kind of how I would like to see those non-AD units going a little more, as opposed to putting in Beasley and Brown at the same time. Again, if they're knocking down threes, if they're both on, then that's awesome, but definitely not ideal when they're playing the way they played in game one. So that's really the biggest weakness for the Lakers right now is just, yeah, when AD is off the floor, because AD is that good of a player. He's the best defensive, like, you can argue that he's the best defensive player and best all-around player in this series, which is really saying something, and people don't, you know, talk about it enough, honestly. So when he's off the court, obviously that's the biggest weakness that the Lakers have. So really just overall a good game, and again, maybe those minutes. I will say we saw Darvin Ham matching up Jared Vanderbilt's minutes with Ja Morant, which he did not do the last time that the Lakers played the Grizzlies when Ja Morant was healthy. And Ja Morant just went at Dennis Schroeder and scored like 20-something points in the third quarter of that game. So seeing Darvin Ham, I think Lakers guru on Twitter, tweeted during the game, he's like, he knows what he's doing. He's bamboozled us this entire time in the regular season or whatever. So nice to see that adjustment and see Jared Vanderbilt match those minutes with Ja Morant. And, you know, you got to imagine the Grizzlies might, you know, they'll have at least one or two games where they shoot much better from three. They only shot 36% from three, which is okay, but not great in game one. Lakers shot 43% from three, which is really good. 53% from the field. So you got to imagine you're going to get a game where, like, Dylan Brooks hits a couple more threes instead of going 2 for 9, or Desmond Bain hits a couple more threes instead of going 3 for 10, goes like, you know, 5 for 10, 4 for 10. Same with Luke Kennard. He went 1 for 4 from three. You got to imagine there's a game where he hits a couple more. And you can say the same for the Lakers and like Malik Beasley and Troy Brown and those guys that didn't shoot as well for the Lakers. But if you're the Grizzlies, you got to hope, especially not knowing where the situation is with Ja Morant, that your shooters can come out and hit some threes, because that, even though you have Jaren Jackson Jr., because they're out Steven Adams and out Brandon Clark, there's a size disadvantage. Jaren Jackson Jr. can't go at Anthony Davis all game. Whereas on the flip side, I think Anthony Davis can go at Jaren Jackson Jr. all game. And I say that, and Jaren Jackson Jr. had 31 points. He had a really good game overall for the Grizzlies. So he went 2 for 4 from three. Like, he only got to the line 3 times. Anthony Davis got to the line only 2 times. So they let them play. It was a pretty physical game. We had a little bit of a scare with Anthony Davis going into halftime where he hit it. Like, I think it must have been like hit his funny bone or got a stinger or something, because he's like, I can't move my arm. And that's happened to me before playing basketball, where like I like hit my arm on something and like my arm just like cramped up and I like, couldn't move it for a second. It freaked me out. So I think that's probably what happened to him, because he came back and just kept dominating. But it was a pretty physical game. You know, only the Lakers only had 16 free throw attempts. The Grizzlies had 16 free throw attempts. So it was a pretty, I mean, if you're one of those people that goes and looks at the Lakers and compares free throw attempts and stuff, equal in that sense. So again, overall good game. I think the things to look out for, again, the big thing is Ja Morant in game two. And then also, who's going to step up for the Lakers in game two, right? I would love to get a repeat of what we saw in game one. Like I said, chances are Rui putting up 29 points again, pretty low. Getting 11, going 11-14. But who's going to step up? You know, D'Angelo Russell has the capability of putting in, you know, 20 to 30 points. Anthony Davis, LeBron James obviously have the ability to put up 40 plus points if it's their night. Austin Reeves, again, he had a big game. He has that ability to do that again. Dennis Schroeder can put up 20 plus points. Malik Beasley can put up 20 plus points if his shot's falling. Troy Brown Jr. can put up 15 plus points if his shot's falling. So, like, who's going to step up for the Lakers in game two? You're going to, in order for the Lakers to win, you have to have LeBron and Anthony Davis come and play well, right? Like, that's a given. So who's going to be the third and fourth guy? And Lakers have a lot of options. Is it going to be D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura, Troy Brown, Dennis Schroeder, Malik Beasley? All those guys have the ability to do it, and it's just a matter of who's going to step up and hit those shots. So definitely excited to see how the Lakers do in game two in Memphis. If we could come back to LA with a 2-0 lead, that would be insane. Now, I'm not getting my hopes up. The fact that we even won game one was big. And winning game one doesn't mean a whole lot. Remember back in the Lakers 2020 championship run, we lost game one to Portland in the first round. We lost game one to Houston in the second round. And then in the Western Conference final, or yeah, Western Conference finals, went up 2-0 against the Nuggets. But winning game one doesn't necessarily mean anything, right? Now, if teams can adjust and change things up and stuff, the Grizzlies, obviously, with the Ja Morant potential injury and stuff, and again, even if he plays, he's got to be hobbled a little bit. Definitely sets them back a decent amount. And they already have injuries with Brandon Clark and Steven Adams. Like, they're playing a little bit handicapped in that sense. So the Lakers are in a great position to kind of step on their throats and take the series if they can get this win and come back to LA up 2-0. And even if not, though, if they come back to LA 1-1, then you have two opportunities at home to against it's going to be a rabid Lakers fan base in Crypto.com Arena. It's going to be rabid. It's going to be crazy atmosphere, and the Lakers, hopefully they can feed off of it and whatnot. So we'll see how game two goes. We just need Anthony Davis to play like that every game. Need him to play big on defense, and I think the offense will come, right? Like, you play good defense leads to good offense. That's like the motto of this podcast. I need to make a shirt that says that. Good defense leads to good offense. Because when Anthony Davis is playing really good on defense, I feel like he often plays really good on offense, and it leads to the Lakers, you know, fast break points and all that kind of stuff. So, game two is going to be exciting. I think the Grizzlies are going to come out ready to go. I mean, Desmond Bane kind of shot some had some shots fired at Rui, saying like that was their game plan. Their game plan was to let Rui shoot, and he just beat them at it. Like, he hit his shots, and you know, he said like, oh, he's not gonna hit those. He's not gonna shoot like that every game. Blah blah blah, which is true, but they're you know, they're not gonna back down. They're gonna just change their focus, their game plan, and the Lakers got to adjust the same as well. So, definitely looking forward to hopefully getting another Lakers win, seeing how the Lakers can do in game two, seeing what the Ja Morant status is, and hopefully getting a big game from the Lakers on Wednesday. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Lakers Carpool. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts and share it on social media with your friends. You can find the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or most places where you listen to podcasts. Again, thank you so much for listening, and go Lakers.
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers!